Call this meeting to order. We'll get started with the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. One of my goals when I became president was to keep our meetings efficient, and if the conversation starts going off track, or if there's comments that we start getting, you know, personal or political or something, I might ding my bell and let's just try to kind of pull us back together and focus on the agenda. So as we get started here, there's not a lot of time for questions, but at the appropriate time, if you have questions about the budget, questions about the proposals, and then during the trustee reports, there'd be time to ask questions. And then if you still have questions after that, we'll have a chance to ask a few questions. I feel like if the question is requires some deliberation or further research, we'll ask to hold off on that topic until the next board meeting when the board has a chance to consider that. So, you know, try to keep moving along here because we have just some business to take care of. So the first thing I want to do is introduce the trustees sitting up here. Marv Harris has been doing roads and stormwater. Barbara Quick has been working with the parks. What else? I can't remember.
Parks and Rec.
Miscellaneous stuff. Sandy Allen has been doing the marina for quite a few years, and Pat has been my partner in doing water and wastewater.
In crime, yeah.
Bill has been doing architecture and treasure, and Stan has been working on some compliance issues. So that is our board right now. I am happy to announce, moving on the agenda here, that we have a manager now, Steve Steinhauer, and I'll give him a chance to say a few words further down. And we have our attorney here, as usual, Skip Hauser, who would like to make a quick statement.
Everyone, thank you, and good afternoon, not yet, only morning. It just seems like afternoon. Thank you for appearing for your annual meeting. I can advise you, Madam President, as per your bylaws, and this is under Section 8 of the article pertaining to meetings, Article 5. A quorum is present throughout any annual or special meeting of the association if 12% of the members entitled to vote are present in person at the beginning of the meeting or having submitted a valid ballot. You have 547 members who are eligible to vote, meaning they are in good standing. 12% of that number would be 65.64, meaning 66 votes must be achieved. I have been informed by your committee this morning that 123 ballots have already been received, not counting those who came in this morning for today's meeting. So you are able to conduct business, and I'll hand it back to you so that you can approve your annual meeting minutes.
All right, thank you. That's an impressive number of people voted ahead of time. I like to see that. That's great. All right, so our first business is to approve the annual meeting minutes from last June 12th, 2021. They were in your packet. Could I have a motion from the floor, perhaps?
To approve those? I so move.
And could you state your name, please, loud and clear?
David Karsten, C-A-R-S-T-E-N.
All right, David Karsten has moved to approve the minutes. Could I have a second, please? Diane Bradford will second that. And all in favor of approving those, or sorry, any discussion, any comments about the minutes? Good, okay, all in favor of approving that those minutes?
Aye.
Thank you. Got all that?
Madam President, you'd ask if there's any nays so that you can identify that it passed.
Thanks, any nays? Thank you.
And your motion passes, Madam President.
Thank you. It's good thing you're here. excuse me. Moving right along here. Number six on our agenda is to introduce and ask for comments from the candidates who are running for the board this coming year. At this time, I want to let you know that Virginia Stafford has informed us that she will not be able to serve this year. Obligations came up, and she would be interested in serving in the future, but she can't right now. So on our ballot, that means we now have four people running for four positions. But still, there's a chance to introduce yourself. So I think I just saw Christina walk in. Is that you back there?
That's me. Hi.
This is Christina Ramsey, who just want to give us a sentence or two about yourself.
Oh, sure. I'm Christina Ramsey. My husband, Peter, and I moved into the neighborhood almost a year ago. It'll be a year in July. And
yeah, thank you for coming. And Diane Bradford is back there. Just walked in.
I'm Bradford. I've been coming curling since I was 19. I have 35 years of retail hardware experience, and I just love to be a positive voice for the community.
Thank you. And then two current board.
You want that door shut?
Okay, is it bugging you? Marv Harris, who's currently on the board, is willing to run again.
I'm Marv Harris. I've been doing the roads for quite a few years, and appreciate all the help that our people in the community has helped get keep it up, the roads up, and bioswales and ditches on the side of the road. And I've got some more footage figured out for this year. So.
Thank you. And Stan Harris is willing to serve again.
Yep. Stan Harris, I've been on the board now for a year.
2 years, probably.
A year and a bit. I've been doing compliance, and I've been lived in the community for about 4 years now.
Thank you.
We're no relation.
No relation.
Number seven says nominations of candidates for Board of Trustees from the floor. Anybody out here today who would like to run for the board? All right, thank you. Number eight, Treasurer's Report. So I'm going to sit down and let Bill talk to you a little bit about our operating and capital budgets and answer any questions you might have about the budgets or the financial statements.
All right. Can everybody hear me okay? All right. As you're probably aware, we have two budgets. We have an operating budget and we have a reserve budget. And I guess the first thing I want to put on the table is that we're going to ask you to support a modest increase in both of those for this forthcoming year. Okay? Why is that? All right, that's a legitimate question to ask, and you know, I'll get as quick an answer as I can. We have not increased the budget. This will be the fifth increase in 13 years, okay, in the budget. What this really tells us is that the board has been a little bit remiss in keeping abreast of the actual expenses that we have. So to a certain extent, we're paying the price for that. The other important thing is that as you're looking, you do a forward look at what our anticipated costs are going to be, and that's really the board's job is to be, I think, anticipate things, not react to it, and we're committed to doing that. In the reserve area, we know that there's going to be continued cost increases, especially in terms of vehicle expenses. The big one is fuel, which just raised its head here, you know, in the last month or so. We are also finding that a lot of the assets in the community are growing a little bit long in the tooth. Okay, so you don't want to wait until these things break and risk a special assessment. That's the thing that we've been working diligently to avoid having to face, and we're committed to doing that. So that's the rationale behind the proposal that we're making for a modest increase. What it amounts to is that it will create, the dues increase will provide us about $42,000 of increased revenue. Okay, if we don't approve that, okay, then we really only have about $2,000 of wiggle room to anticipate unexpected costs. Candidly, folk, that's not enough. So that we're requesting your support behind that. What else? Anything?
Well, increase for the operating fund.
Well, yeah, the operating fund is there to support, again, what we anticipate are going to be, you know, continued increases in operating costs, and most of it has to do with personnel. Want you to know that we have probably the finest staff you could ever ask for. The folks that work with us that you see around the neighborhood, I'm convinced at least, and I think the board would support me on this, they're here because they want to be here. They could probably make more money elsewhere. In fact, we know they can make more money elsewhere. But they believe in the community, they're committed to it, they enjoy working here. We're doing everything possible to make life pleasant for them to be here. So I think that's to the credit of all of you that are part of this neighborhood.
I'll just jump in here. So in your packets, you had, I believe in the yellow one, the proposed budgets and some explanation. And as Bill mentioned, the operating budget, you know, $5 a month increase generates about $42,000. That's really important for us to have that money to be able to cover our operating expenses and our employees and personnel, as Bill mentioned. Our staffing is working for probably less than they could make other places, and so we really appreciate them and want to make sure we try to stay competitive with their salaries. And so $42,000 to me is like one of our, you know, as a maintenance worker, our lowest level maintenance worker. If we don't have the money to pay, we don't have employees. So I think it's really important that we have materials and we have employees. So any questions? Harry?
Yeah, on the general operating budget,
mm-hmm.
Where in the balance sheet is that located? I found capital fund, I found operating fund budget, but I never found general operating budget anywhere. Is that part of something else?
I have to flip through here and see what you're looking at. I know there is some confusion because sometimes we call it fund and sometimes we don't call it fund. But you know, the operating stuff is got. There's the general fund, the marina fund, and the sewer fund falls under the operating umbrella.
I found that.
Yeah.
And it's on the second page, page four here. It says operating budget, but I can't find general operating fund. Is that part of the budget, or is that something I'm missing in the report?
I think that's on page three.
Are you in the blue?
Fund.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, the page numbers got all messed up on our packet here, unfortunately. So you're looking at the, we have a chart. Are you looking at this chart here?
I'm looking at that.
Okay.
And then I'm looking at the yellow one where it says the balance sheet.
Oh.
Different funds.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the balance sheet does not, the balance sheet does show, if you look at the, on the balance sheet, it's on line total 1105, you will see it says general operating $315,000 as of March. These are a couple months old now. So the balance sheet, you know, is a little bit different than the profit and loss in the budget. It just shows what's in the bank right now.
Okay, so our operating, general operating budget then is showing we have $20,000 in it.
I don't.
So I can't find the 410 that we're talking about, or 470.
Well, you won't find that on the balance sheet. The balance sheet only shows what's in the bank right now.
Okay.
As of March.
Now, if you.
Here's one in May.
If you look at, turn the page to. The profit and loss, it's on page three of these little financial statements here.
Okay.
And that's where you would find under the general fund income at the top what, you know, the budget for the current year was $524,000. that we, now, that $524,000 includes your assessments, but it also includes a whole bunch of stuff, other income sources like title transfer. So we kind of condense it to make it simpler to read. But this general fund budget on this page, next year, this number, if it's approved, one of these numbers, either the 549 or the 590, one of those numbers will be at the top of the profit and loss statements for next the next fiscal year.
Well, I'm happy to try to explain a little bit more. And one other question on the bill is that fuel and equipment estimate going to be close to realistic with the current inflation cycle?
Well, we hope it's reasonably close, but you know, nobody anticipated, you know, $5. Well, diesel's even more
expensive. It'll be $10 by the end of summer.
Well, let's hope that. We're making the projections as good as we possibly can under the circumstances, but there's going to be some surprises in it. And it further underscores, I think, the need for us to be, you know, forward thinking in terms of our financial planning. So,
You know, the budget is a plan. It's not set in stone. Some areas will go higher than what we predict. Some areas will be lower. So that's just kind of our goal, is to divide up what we hope to get.
Like one thing I do want to point out is that over the course of last year, our expenses have been higher in terms of contracted help, because we've had to sub out a lot of things. Looking forward, now that we have a manager on board, that's likely to change, is that we're not going to be a subject to having to, you know, shop out a lot of stuff that our new manager will hopefully be taking care of. It's also a big relief for the board members, as we've had to undertake a lot of tasks that Steve is now going to be taking over.
All right, thank you. Any more questions about the budgets? Yes, Gene.
Yeah, I'm just curious, is Hendrickson being dealt with, continually being taken care of?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. I didn't want to go off on a tangent.
Right.
I was just curious.
We do follow up on that. Thank you. Any other questions?
I have a question about the manager's salary. Where was that money going before we hired him? What account did that go into? Do we spend it all?
Yeah, it's in general fund. It's general, you know, in the personnel. I think I mentioned this at previous meetings and tried to put it in the minutes that, you know, people are like, oh, there must be a lot of money saved up because we didn't have a manager. Not really, because we had so many expenses that were so much higher than we expected.
That's why I wondered if there would
be
some.
So, I mean, there will be, at the beginning of the next fiscal year, there will be some carryover, and I think Bill and I talked about this, that if you look at the total general fund, including marina, sewer, everything, our operating expenses, you know, are about $70,000 or so a month. And I think it's recommended that you keep at least a three-month, you know, savings of that. So if we start the next fiscal year and we've got, you know, $250,000 to start in operating, that's not capital, that's operating, I think we're a good place. So yes, we are. We do save a little bit, or hope to save a little bit every year. Capital, believe it or not, even though it seems like we've had some huge expenses this year, we spent what we collected. So we collect like $260,000 of capital assessments, and we just spent almost all of that, you know, plus marina kicked in some. So we didn't actually dip into our savings account. We just didn't get to add to our savings. And I really hope that, you know, my goal is always that we add a little bit more to the reserve each year.
I guess it's time to bring it up to talk about budgeting. I'm looking at the reserve study assessment. Maybe on page six of the, I'm trying to find out what is that.
Are you in the yellow packet?
Yes, in the yellow packet of page six, and looking at reserve study assessment.
Oh, one of the financial pages?
Yes, number 4800, 4720.
Are you looking at a profit and loss page?
Yeah, that's the page.
Okay. And what's your question?
Reserve study assessment, what is that about?
Oh, we, our bylaws have set up two capital funds, the unrestricted fund and the reserve fund. And, you know, we're obligated to do a reserve study. Unfortunately, this year it's not done yet. It's coming up here in end of June. We'll get it completed. So I just thought it was like a, you know, made up thing. We'll call this one this and this one this, but it's not. It's a real thing that has real tax laws and real, you know, requirements set up in the WAC or the RCWs on it. We just had this conversation earlier this morning. What's the difference between a WAC and an RCW? But I won't make Skip explain that now. But so we do save. So we have two capital funds. One's called unrestricted, one's called reserve. If you look at this page right here, if anybody's interested in this stuff, at the top of the page you see an $84,000. That's the collection that we call the unrestricted. And then in the restricted, you see there's an assessment of $180,000. So you put those two together, and that was our capital assessment for this year, $260,000. This is really a little bit confusing because we have that big insurance thing. So it looks like, well, we had all this other income from the insurance claim, but it actually came in and then it went out. And this page looks like that we've spent $37,000 more than we brought in, but that's not true because this doesn't show that the marina fund contributed to this reserve fund to cover the marina repairs this year. So rather than being actually $37,000 in the hole, we're if you add $50,000 to that, we're actually a little bit ahead.
And I noticed the reserve study capital expenses is $270,000.
Right.
So we spent more than we took in there?
No, because it's frustrating to me when I look at this. I want to ask the bookkeeper, well, show me where is that money that came from the marina fund. It doesn't show it on here, but we spent the $269,000 included fixing the marina and, of course, $100,000 for roads, whatnot. So, yeah, like I was trying to say, it looks like we spent more than we brought in, but we didn't really.
Like, I guess what I'm trying to understand is, in 2017, 18, and 19, there was zero capital reserve study assessment coming in. There was. I got the sheets at home. And expenses, there was zero for those 3 years.
Correct.
And then in 2020, we had $136,000 come in and $96,000 go out. And in 2021, it was $135,000. And this year, $178,269. I'm trying to find out where the money is. This like the vaporous fund. That
I can explain part of that because of the marina. Okay, this is where you're getting held up. When the marina needs these major capital improvements, it's a partnership between the capital fund and the funds coming in from slip fees and everything. So the marina has been asking for $50,000 a year. In the last year, we were told that we couldn't pay part of it from the marina fund and part of it from the capital fund. We need to transfer the marina money in and have it all come from the capital fund for the auditors. And so that means when I get the bill, and I think it was about $120,000, So the marina paid $70,000, and the capital fund paid $50,000, and we transferred the marina money into the capital fund to write the entire check from the capital fund per the auditor, and that is a change. So that shows why it jumped suddenly.
I would say, Harry, if you want to have questions about this, further questions, I can sit down with you and the bookkeeper can sit down with you because it's...
I'd like to do that.
Yeah, because
I ran up definitions of all that stuff online.
Yeah.
And extremely convoluted.
It's not made for people that just want
like
to see what came in and what went out.
Thing to go into.
Gene?
Yeah, well, is it clear that periodically we pay an outside entity for the study?
Right.
Itself? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's actually, I think it's required by Washington state law.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's correct. That kind of a concept the government should take, too.
Mm-hmm. We pay for we have a full audit every year, and we have the reserve study every year. And the balance sheet pages can be confusing, the profit and loss, so, you know, we're happy to sit down and talk about it more. Thank you, Harry.
So the study is of our infrastructure and guesstimating.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
What's going to happen in the future that we're going to have to deal with.
Correct.
Lisa, Corey, third question.
Corey.
2017 and 2018 might have been before we started collecting money from.
I was thinking about that. I can't remember exactly when the reserve fund was established in the bylaws. I'd have to go back. It seems like we've had it for quite a few years, but I don't know. Can't remember offhand. But you're right. All right, where's our agenda? Moving on here. No. I've turned so many pages here.
Cross connection.
Okay, it's time for the cross connection. Pat, take it away.
This year I'm going to be good, and I'm only going to talk about cross connection at this time. Last year I got into all water and wastewater. So in your packets and the packets that went out to everyone in the community, you received this little checklist called the Cross Connection Survey, where we're asking about different plumbing activities and things that could potentially put contaminants into our drinking water. We are doing this because we are part of the, we are our own purveyor of water. As you know, we have our two wells that we provide the water for the community. And the Washington Administrative Code 246-290-490 requests that purveyors provide a cross-connection study. So we are not trying to invade your privacy. We're trying to make sure that the water that you receive does not have any backwash from a pond you might have, or some water standing that you might feed or have out for animals, or any kind of activity that might cause contaminated water to get into our water system. So I do have, I keep this with me, the little nine-page WAC, if anybody is interested in looking at why we are asking for this information. And we do ask, if you haven't filled it out, please do encourage your neighbors to fill it out so that we can just keep track of any potential areas where water contamination might happen.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to discussion or explanation of the four proposed bylaw changes that you are voting on in the blue packet. Proposal one was, as I've mentioned here, is something the auditor asked us to correct. Any questions about that? Proposal two, this is where we are asking to increase the monthly assessment per single lot from $58 to $63. That's a 12 monthly payment. And if you have a, this is written strangely. The explanation below does tell you with that increase, a single lot, the assessment would be $756. That's for the operating fund. That doesn't include the capital assessments. So there's any, and then following that is an explanation of the proposed budgets and how that increase is utilized. And we ask that on the ballot, I believe if you approve the $5 increase, you also approve the budget that corresponds with that increase. And we've kind of talked about this a little bit already, but any further questions about that proposal?
Yeah, does it show where the combo lots are going to get charged? Because it says single lot?
Right. Combo lots are 1.5, pay 1.5, the assessment. And I don't know if I don't have the chart with me that shows
so
that.
But technically your ballot is null and void because that doesn't provide the information for the combo lot to assess and do it.
Well, that's a different bylaw that states that the combo lots pay 1.5 of the regular assessment. Right, Skip?
Correct.
Okay, but it should also state on here in my proposal, since I have a combo lot, it should state for me, knowing that I have a combo lot, and all of this is pertaining to a single lot.
Yep.
For clarity purposes, that would have been preferred probably to state that. But the bylaws then revert back to if there's an assessment for a lot and it's a combo lot, bylaws say it will be assessed at 1.5. So the bylaws still prevail over that.
So
this is just an assessment amount.
So 1.5. So that's $5 for single. So 10. So
$7.50.
Okay. So
I know in the office there's a chart that does show what the assessment is for a single lot, for a combined lot. But I don't have that with me right now, and that's not a bylaw change. I understand you want to know how much it's going to be, but we set the assessment for the same.
In any proposal, it should state anyway. So I'm just saying.
Okay. So next year we will include the money, so you will know how much you'll be paying. But as far as the bylaw, this is correct. All right. I understand your frustration. You want to know what it's going to cost you, but that's established already in the bylaws that combined lot pays 1.5. Diane?
So, I could be incorrect in this. I just want to know, I've heard that there are some people that own like 4 lots that have all been combined into one.
I don't think you can do that. I'm not really sure, but I don't think you can.
Well, I know there's one for sure because I went up and looked at the properties when it was for sale, and he said he could divide it because somehow the properties had all been joined together. How does a lot like that get?
I have never seen that, so I'm not sure. I can't answer that, but please,
okay.
Just need to look up.
Thank you.
Sure. Proposal number 3 is the increase to the unrestricted. We changed a couple of the wording here. As I think Harry pointed out, sometimes we call things by different names. So on this one, some of this was just correcting a couple words to make it match other areas. But the proposed increase is changing the $21 to $26, a $5 increase for capital reserve projects. And then it goes on to explain that, and it shows a couple other places where we corrected some typographical errors. And it's and then there's the proposed budget showing how the increases would be utilized for the capital fund and the operating funds. Harry?
So then proposal 3 is an additional $10 assessment?
No, it's 5.
Five for
operating, 5 for capital. Currently, the first sentence says there's a monthly.
It says 10.
There's a monthly assessment of $10 that's already given to finance normal unrestricted. What we did was cross out the word normal because that's silly. So that didn't change. That's $10. The change is in the next number 3 there. It says a monthly assessment that the 21 is crossed out and became 26. So that's the $5 increase right there. So
we have $5 there and $5 in the other one.
Yes.
So $10 over.
Yes. And an explanation. I've had people tell me, because this stuff is like runs around in my brain 24 hours a day, it makes a lot of sense to me, but other people just look like, I didn't understand that. I was like, really? I thought I made that so clear. I need to work harder, whoever writes this stuff up next year, to ask somebody who doesn't live with us every day to read it, see if it makes sense. Also, is the proposed capital budget that shows the same items, but just with the increase, hoping to save some money. And always things come up that we don't expect. And, you know, we've got to repair the clubhouse, and we've put, you know, maybe $50,000, but that could be easily more than that, depending on how we go about it. So this is just again, the budget is just sort of a vision that might come to fruition or might not. Any questions on that?
I think the main point that I'd like to make is every year this community ages, and it makes it more and more challenging to try and anticipate, you know, long-term expenses simply because it's an aging community. It's like a house that you have. Little repairs become bigger repairs, and you try to anticipate them as best you can, but It's not going to be an exact science.
And the fourth proposal was proposed by a member to, well, you can kind of read what the idea was there. On this one, the board did not see the need for this bylaw proposal and consulted with, well, actually, our attorney reads through all of this stuff and gives us some feedback on it. So well, we feel like this is not necessary to add to the bylaws. Any questions about that proposal? No? Okay. So if there are no further questions about the business part of the meeting, I want to give you a chance to do your ballots. We'll get the ballots turned in. We'll take a 10-minute break or so to stand up and stretch. And then we'll come back and get trustee reports so you can learn a little bit more and ask more questions about the concerns you have. I don't believe we have any new business, right, team? Nothing to put on the agenda that wasn't already on the agenda. Okay, Corey?
We're going to vote for candidates now.
Yes, now you're going to fill out your ballot and turn them in and put them out in the box. We'll just take a little break.
Maybe I missed it, but did the candidates introduce themselves?
Yes.
But
I'm right behind you.
You know Diane, she's behind you, and Christina's sitting over there on the other side.
And then Stan's at the end of the table.
Stan is still here. Stan's here and Marv is here.
I said Virginia dropped
out. And Virginia dropped out, unfortunately.
I've got one more here.
Yeah. All right, so let's stand up and take a break for a few minutes. People can turn in their ballots if they want to, and we'll So let's resume the meeting and start the portion of the meeting where we have trustee reports and more chance for you to ask questions. So I'll start with letting Steve introduce himself or say anything else he'd like to say.
Hi, everybody. I'm Steve Steinauer. This is actually, I just finished my fourth week here. So I'm very new, but I'm grateful to be here. Everyone that I've met has been fantastic, from the board to the ladies in the office to the maintenance staff to all the people I've met in the community have been very welcoming. Hopefully in another month that attitude is still there as I try to find my way. I've left some cards up here if anybody wants to grab a card with my phone number and email. So if you have concerns, you can bring them directly to me. My understanding is that over the course of the last couple of years here with no manager, the individual board members have taken on responsibilities probably far beyond their volunteer status, and I think everybody understands how much they've done, but I'm here to shoulder a lot of that. I want to take a lot of stuff off of their plate so that they can really focus on the vision of the community and helping out and really kind of resume a more volunteer board member status. So put me to work. If you have things that are bothering you that we can work on, please let me know, get a card, and I look forward to getting to know you and the rest of the community. So, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, well, so we'll start letting everybody speak up here. I'll go first. My president's report is really a lot of thank yous. I want to make sure all of you are aware. We have amazing employees, and as I think Bill mentioned earlier, we offer pretty good benefits, but their hourly wage is not super competitive, but they're hanging in there. So we want to really appreciate Marcia and Pam in the office. John is our water guy. I call him the water guy. Randy and Skylar are our drivers. Mo does so much of our yard work. And then Dallas has been just incredibly awesome, and his last day was Friday. Don't make me cry. We are sad to see him move up to Seattle, but he's excited about what's next in his future. And then so we have a very brand new employee named Cody that you'll start seeing around. He's like a 30-ish guy with a little beard. So he is going to starting just as a regular maintenance worker and trying to work his way up to taking on more of the responsibility that Dallas has had. But we do have amazing employees.
Mo and Mo.
Mo, I said Mo. Okay. Yeah, Mo does a lot of the weed whacker, but he loves just being outside and trimming the yard and riding the mowers around. So we appreciate that. I definitely want to share my appreciation for the board. Being president, it was just a team effort here. I really didn't ever felt like I was pressured. I had to, resolve some important issues. Pat's my main person, when I turn on my text, her name is right there. It's like, my kids are over here, but she's right there. So, and we know Sandy is off the board. She spent 6 years doing marina, has done an incredible job with the marina, with the permitting, and getting, trying to replace every year a little more. So thank you, Sandy. She's also doubled up as secretary this year. And Pat, my partner here, she's done water and wastewater, which has just been an incredible amount of work. And she will probably talk more about maybe some of the issues with our water system in particular. Wastewater seems to chug along okay. So I really appreciate them, and I want everybody in the community to know how much time they have put into this. And then, you know, our community is pretty amazing. When I start thinking about all of our volunteers, and I don't want to name people, but because I probably would forget somebody, but we have a lot of volunteers who step up to serve on committees, you know, especially like the architecture committee, our hiring committee. We have a volunteer who comes out in the snow to drive the backhoe. We have volunteers who have saved our life by being able to do repairs on the pump trucks. We have volunteers, you know, retired architect who helps us design building projects. The hiring committee I mentioned, we have the architecture committee who helps make sure that our own permits are followed. You know, the county's got their own inspectors, but we also have our own internal ones. And then we have the groups that just work on the quality of our neighborhood, including the dog park group, the garden group, and the events group. So there's a lot going on in our neighborhood. We also had last summer a volunteer coordinator. She ended up moving out of the community, so the darn shame, but she rounded up a couple people to help the guys when they're, you know, they get overworked. And we've got the garden beds at the two entrances. She coordinated weeding those and putting chips out there. So I don't want to overwhelm Steve. You know, he's trying to figure us all out. And, you know, volunteers are great, but I think in time, you know, I don't want to add more people for him to coordinate. But if, you know, if it's something, you see something you'd like to help with, let us know. We've got the, we were going to have volunteers paint the stop signs on the streets last year, but I don't know, I think it started raining. So, and I'll let Steve try to, as he gets used to it, see where else might a volunteer come in handy. So I just think this is a great year for me as president and for our community because so many people have stepped up. I was trying to think of what are our major accomplishments this year, and I'd have to say hiring a manager. That really took about, 6 or 8 months that we spent working with a consultant and the board meeting and the committee meeting, and yay, we got a manager. I hope he stays. And then I talked about some of the frustrations this year, and I have to say that it's been challenging for the board to get large projects completed. I think because we're volunteers, we can't spend every day tracking down this and going for permits. So our, as you know, the Wanigan has been kind of falling down. I don't know. You know, it's been blocked off. We really don't want people to use it because we know it needs structural repairs, and that's going to be happening very soon. The clubhouse needs work. We try to save the community money by using volunteers, but I think, you know, a project like the clubhouse, we're just going to have to hire that out. I mean, it's a big project. It's not fair to ask people on their weekends to come in and, you know, hoist up the clubhouse and replace the post. So last year, I know some of you might remember, I thought that I would be done. I actually made plans to go on a trip. But I do have one more year on this term, and I am willing to serve that term. This is kind of my sixth year, but I haven't done consecutive terms. I've been elected, and then I was done, and then I got asked to come back. And I don't even know how many times that happened. But I am willing to do one more year.
She's only been elected twice out of her last 7 years of serving. Most of them were partial years where she filled in for someone. So she's only been elected twice in the last 7 years.
Yeah. And the last thing I want to say is we're going to have, following this meeting, we'll have just a special quick board meeting to elect officers and kind of appoint trustees. And then there will be an executive session as part of that meeting. So you're welcome to stay while we elect officers if you want, but then I would have to boot everybody out for an executive session. At the end of the executive session, and we'll be discussing some personnel things, the board will come back and make a motion. That part of the meeting is open, but I can't really predict. It might be like a 30-minute, 20-minute executive session before we go back into open session. Did I say that all right, Mr. Skip?
You did.
Sorry. Phew. Okay, any questions for me? All righty, let's move on and let a few more people talk. Bill, you
want to
talk a little bit about architecture?
We had, I was just kind of counting them up here, we had a total of I think 10, yeah, 10 new permits issued for new construction. Significance of that is there just aren't very many lots left in this neighborhood. And so we are truly reaching, I'd say, community capacity. And there'll be a little bit more discussion on that, you know, in terms of our water system also. But, Carlyon Beach is getting built out. And that's culmination of a neighborhood that started, what, 1960, I believe?
56 when it was originally.
Yeah, hard to believe. So anyway, that's what's cooking as far as the lots are concerned. Do you have anything else to contribute to?
We should talk about water, but
yeah.
Just as far as building permits.
There's a moratorium now, isn't there? For more, they don't have water.
I'll be addressing all that.
Pat will address some of the water issues and what has come about with that dilemma.
I guess the other comment I'd make about architecture is that the architecture committee is pretty diligent, I think, in terms of making sure that any construction that takes place is, you know, going to respect the neighborhood guidelines, the borders, the perimeters, and that sort of thing. If there is a question on it, we often ask a neighbor to talk to another neighbor to get their okay on things. So it's, in doing so, you prevent, you know, disagreements among neighbors in the community. Hopefully we're doing a reasonably good job of maintaining the integrity and consistency of how this community appears and looks.
Thank you. Any questions about architecture other than the moratorium? Corey?
If we have a problem with the decision of the architecture committee, are you like above them or something?
You appeal to the board.
Yep.
All right, thank you. Pat?
So I've been the trustee for water and wastewater for the last couple of years, last 2 years, and I took it over thinking, well, you know, I use water and I use wastewater, so that would be an interesting way to get to know some more about my community. I had no idea at the time really what I was getting myself in for, but it is two of the parts of our infrastructure that are most important and every owner uses. I'm going to start with wastewater. I will let folks know we have a contracted person that runs our wastewater treatment plant. Brian Gibson does a fantastic job. Once again this year, he received an award for outstanding performance. They rate all of the small septic and wastewater treatment plants throughout the state, and we're one of 125 in the whole state that Brian has been pretty consistent winning this award. So we know that our treatment of sewage, of effluents, is done in a manner that meets all the requirements in an outstanding way, keeping in mind that once it goes through the wastewater treatment plant, it goes right out into the sound. So we want to make sure that everything that happens there is up to code, and he does an excellent job running that for us. We did some maintenance work around the treatment plant to try to help with safety. Most of them were safety issues that we wanted to keep up with. I think the biggest thing is I've been keeping track of how many pump outs are done on a daily basis. I keep track of what's scheduled as well as what's actual, meaning if people are going on vacation, they may call and let Marcia know that they're not getting, need a pump out for a while, or call with an emergency pump out, and I keep track of those things. And the one thing that I have noticed over the last 2 years of the data that I've collected and then the person that collected before me is that during our winter months, which are our wet months, the number of pumps and extra pumps that are requested goes up. And one of the things that indicates a change in the number of pumps could be water infiltration into people's tanks. I think that I've tried at least every month in my at the board meeting and in some newsletters to put information about homeowner responsibility. And that is one of them, maintaining our your personal septic tanks. We at Carline Beach will pump out the liquid effluents. That's what we, but there's a second tank that has the solids. And I think there's some folks that perhaps don't understand, if they're new to septic, that their responsibility is to get that part of it pumped out so that there's a better flow through the system. Who would have ever guessed I would be talking about this? Anyway, education, I think, is really important. Our pump drivers are really at a max. When I started, if there were 30 pumps in a day, we went, ooh, that's a lot, that's a lot. Then within a year, that was 35. Our guys have, on multiple days a week, over 40 pumps that they're doing in our community. Some of that has to do with what Bill mentioned, which is our extreme growth that's happened, especially over the last couple of years. We just have more people, more families are moving in. Our demographics have really changed in the community. So we have more families, less vacation type homes. So our systems are getting taxed pretty thoroughly. But right now we're keeping up. Our drivers work 4 10-hour days to best utilize how the system works down at the wastewater treatment plant. So that's 10 hours of getting in and out of the truck up to 40 times in a day to provide us with a service. So when you say they do a great job for not necessarily the best pay, it really is something to know what they're doing.
That's rain or shine, too.
Pardon?
That's rain or shine.
Yep. Yeah. Snow. This year we had some issues with, you know, our big snowfall, trying to get people to come and drive the pump trucks, and so that we could at least try to keep up with that. So when you see those guys, just even if you give them a wave, that would be great. They know everybody's systems, and it'd be nice for you to just acknowledge them.
Should we add that when we posted an ad to get a third driver, we had no responses at all for what we're paying? So be very kind to our pump drivers.
And as Lisa mentioned, Dallas, who has left now, was doing some extra pump. He doesn't have his CDL, so he couldn't go out onto Steamboat Island Road, but he would help out when it got to be really crazy out there. So we're hanging in there in wastewater, the wastewater department. The water is another challenge, I think. Our systems are aging. Some of them have been in the ground and running water since the 50s. I kind of went back and looked at our original number of connections was like 96, and then it went up to 113. And now where we sit is at 607 connections. And if you have a vacant lot or just talk to your neighbors who have vacant lots, you know that we have run out of connections And at this time, are waiting for the state to certify us for some extra connections. Bill talked about this a little bit, about there's 10 active permits right now. In the last, well, since 2017, there were requests for 27 connections. 16 of those have been in the last year and a half, and 10 the last year, which you just mentioned. And I think what happened is we didn't anticipate or project that we were going to run out of connections. And back in October, we hired a company to come and do a water capacity study. It was done by a water engineer. We've submitted it to the state, and they are evaluating the information that's been sent. The information that I've gotten is they're working with about half staff. They're very understaffed, and they're working on it. I call fairly regularly. I've given Steve the information of who our water engineer is so that we can continue to, you know, find out where we are in the line. But right now, we are unable to give out any more water connections. And as soon as we're able to do that, we are hopeful, according to the water capacity study, that we should be able to get an increase in our number. The number that we've requested is more than the number of vacant lots we currently have. So we're anticipating a full house, so to speak, around the neighborhood, and have requested more than what we would have for the vacant lots that we have now.
Question?
Yeah, yes.
You indicated the aging water system.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our septic or sewer system is aging as well.
That is true.
How come we're asking for more permits to be issued?
Well, that...
When what we have now isn't really, it's going to be like, it's working on overtime. And if the guys are pumping 40 a day, that's 1,200 pumps a month. And so that means somebody's getting pumped, everybody's getting pumped twice a month, because we only have 600 people, residents.
There are some, quite a few properties that are only getting pumped once a month.
But to get the those average, numbers,
yeah.
They,
right.
The average,
there are also, yeah.
If the average is 40,
right.
That's, then there's a lot that's above and the same amount below.
Below. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
But that ends up being 1,200 pumps a month,
mm-hmm.
for 600 homes.
Some people need to use
so
more
everybody's
water.
Everybody's getting pumped twice a month then?
No, some people are once a month, some people are twice a week. But you know, everybody.
Twice a week?
Yeah.
Some people get, with kids, they
twice
get.
Twice a week.
Mm-hmm, twice a week.
Wow.
But you know, there's what you know, I'm one of the owners of a lot that I now have no water to it. And I think I don't know if it's in our bylaws or where it's stated, but that our community provides water to every lot. So I think we need to pursue this and provide water to every lot. And then Steve will get more involved with Brian, but and Pat knows too. Maybe you want to talk about this. You know, long range plan for the treatment plant is going to involve some upgrading and some enlargement.
Right.
Speak.
It hasn't been upgraded since the end, right around 1990.
93, I think. 90. But yes, we are. One thing that Brian does really good is he works with a number of, Brian Gibson is our wastewater treatment plant operator. He works with a number of communities similar to ours and is very knowledgeable on options that we can take and has presented that to us. So we are looking at some of those things. Holding tanks is one of them to be able to keep up with the number of pumps that we're doing and processing. Oh, Diane, let's see, Corey had hers up first.
If someone has a double lot, when they sell it, can they sell it as two separate lots?
If they haven't combined them. Once they combine them, they cannot.
because you might have more lots needing water than you think, because if somebody has a double lot and they sell it and they get two houses on it instead of one, then
Our numbers are based on the actual number of properties there are. Well, but we're basing on how many we want for the future. Okay. That's what you were kind of alluding to in the future. Mm-hmm. Somebody could, if somebody has a house on a lot, but also owns the lot next door, we've counted that as two. If it's connected, if they've combined them through the county so that it becomes one piece of property, we've only counted it as one.
Mm-hmm. Why it's combined with the county as one, being charged for two. So
you're being charged for two.
So you guys consider my one lot through the county as a combo lot.
Right, so you're paying not two separate assessments, but one and a half assessment.
Right, but according to what you just said, according to the county, if it's one, then it would be one.
I'm talking about the number of water connections.
Okay. So
you could combine it with the county. That's a separate step.
Well, I am combined with the county.
I think if you have issues on your personal statement, it's a good idea to just take it up with me or the bookkeeper. If there's some confusion over. Diane?
Okay, so I know there are some lots that have their own septic systems, correct?
There are approximately 12 at last count. I know there is some change that still have drain fields. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks, Pat.
Yep, there's about 12 of them, I think.
So when there's fail, are they allowed to redo their drain field, or do they have to look in?
Okay, that's
my question.
That's laid out for us, and if it was up to me, I'd have something else written in there. But right now, how it's written is if there's failure on a drain field, they must change over to the holding tank system.
Thank you.
Peggy?
I know that you said you have requests in with the county to get more water hookups. Do we have adequate water for all those hookups?
Yes.
In our holding tanks and tanks?
Yes. That was what came out with our water capacity study that we had done by the water engineer. He was had very positive results when he took into consideration all of the pressure and all. It's a huge report that they take into account. I don't have all the details, but he's very hopeful that they'll allow us to get up to our numbers that we're requesting.
And as far as our infrastructure, you have budgeted for maintenance and repairs and upgrading the pumps and stuff that go on all the time with pumps and wells. And
yes, and that's, we have done, I think you remember we did. Yeah, oh, yes, we do all the...
But that's all in the budget. I'm just thinking about infrastructure for all these.
And that's ongoing maintenance and repair and upkeep.
Yeah, every year we'll be going through that.
Mm-hmm. Robin?
If you are out of water connections, do you have a waiting list for people who would like one if they come through?
We haven't set up a waiting list. It can be part of the permitting process for folks that are anticipating or getting their county permits for building.
I just know that my son, who has two lots, is thinking about building on the seventh lot, so
right.
He would want to.
So that would be starting with the permitting and getting the it's Kawa, and I'm going to go through this. I can't remember what it's called.
The certificate of water.
The certificate of water availability. Sorry, all the anachronisms. I can't remember. So you would need to. He would need to apply for that when we're able to get.
I know it's not imminent. But I know
right.
They have it in mind.
That'd be with the county, right?
No.
That's with us. We issue the CAWA.
I want to clarify that every vacant lot, some vacant lots have.
Oh, that. Stan reminded me to say that there are some vacant lots that are connected or have active water on them right now. So we do count like hydrants, faucets. We have some lots that have shops on them that are actively drawing water. So those are counted as well.
Meanwhile, as far as the waiting list is concerned, it doesn't matter. Once we get approval, that covers everybody.
Right. That's how we approached it, is that we requested more connections than we could use so that we didn't run into this issue again.
So when they get all approved, they're all going to get approved at once, kind of in a way? Is that how that works?
What they'll say is that that Carline Beach can have X number of connections, and at that time, as people come in and want to, we'll inform everybody so that everybody knows that that has changed. And then it's just get your permits and...
Then the follow-up to that are we capable, do we have the ability to do a special assessment for the people coming in so as to allow for more monetary funds for the strain on the system that they're going to bring in?
Well, right now, as it's set up, well, they do pay to get the connection. That's a separate fee that people get charged. And there may be in the future, like there have been in the past, some requests for other increases of the... that comes out of general fund. Wanted to make sure I said that one right. So... those are all be the work that we'll need to keep up with.
It just seems that if you're going to have a strain on the system, you should probably anticipate that. If you can do that by putting the cost on the person who's actually straining the system, it seems like that would be better.
The bylaws preclude that right now. You can't do a special impact fee per lot. You could change the bylaws to say somebody coming in, and they do that in cities now, where you have an impact fee, where they have to pay for the pre-existing schools, roads, you know, water, etc. You do not have that. They can pay application fees, other examination fees, costs, engineering reports, etc.
Has the board thought about changing the bylaws to allow for that kind of change?
That's not been something we've discussed up to this point. I think this last year has been really eye-opening for the community as a whole. I don't know, I'm the newer of the members, except for maybe Stan.
It's been the most.
But there have just been so much growth out here with the change in how folks are living generally. And the like I said earlier, the demographics of our 600 and whatever lots have just changed drastically. So it's those things that we do talk about that have come up and coming up with some good solutions to keep everything viable. And since there are things that would have to change in the bylaws, those are the things we do every year at this meeting. So it's not like, oh boy, that's a great idea, let's start that tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately.
But probably something we might want to put on the table in the future so as to allow for...
We track in our general fund budget, we do keep track of all the expenses related to water and the other areas in the budget as well. So, because water is very expensive, when the pipes break, I can't believe, it's like, I got to go get a $500 part. So, and then there's the labor. Just the other day, if you went down the island, you probably saw our whole crew was busy working on a big leak. So we do keep track of the man hours and the materials for water. So, we've never talked about a fee for water. We're one of the few communities probably doesn't charge for water, but... if we need to do major repairs on water, everybody will be chipping in for that. Corey?
I wanted to mention about if your septic tank is leaking and your pump goes out, you have to get it pumped a lot, that it is possible to fix it yourself. So if you're interested in how I did it, then you can talk to me. It's a lot of trouble, though.
Mindy? Good for you.
So for the new lots that were coming in, what is the connection fee? So, like, in my previous neighborhood, we were charging $6,500 for the new fee to hook up to the system. Do you guys have that set fee?
It's in the rules and regulations. I believe it's $1,200, $1,250 or $1,200 or something for a water connection.
That's crazy. Okay.
Yes?
How many vacant lots are remaining?
Well, you sent out about maybe 80 something?
In the 80s.
Yeah. One other thing about this wastewater, about, I think a year ago, our the pump out fee went from $24 to $27. That's brought us up where we're barely keeping even. If you look at the profit loss, and sometimes the balance sheets show the sewer fund is, you know, in the negative by a couple thousand dollars, but then it'll come back up to balance. So we're just barely breaking even with what we collect to operate the treatment plant. So that's just something the board will be keeping track of. And that is a fee that the board sets. It's not in the bylaws. So it's just something we look at every month.
Patricia, are you the one on the board? Are you
going to
stay on the board?
Yeah.
I will not be on your board next for the next round.
All right. Any more questions?
My husband's sending me evil eyes over there.
Oh, what? John, this is a good opportunity for her. Keep her busy. Sandy, would you like to talk about the marina a little bit?
First thing I want to say is it's been an honor serving you for 6 years on the marina. And I want to apologize because I told you my goal was to get new docks for everyone, very first thing. And I fell a little short. And I hate to keep blaming our government officials, but the work to get pilings replaced so we could lengthen fingers on B dock stalled last year with the Corps of Engineers, and at the same time, when I went forward with more docks in December, DNR said, you can do this section, but no more until your lease is renewed. I submitted the JARPA for the lease 1 year in advance in August of 2020. It expired in August of 21. It is still not renewed. And they say staff shortages, whatever. So I can't control that. So the new permit, they would have extended that permit, by the way, and it wouldn't have cost the HOA anything. So I held on as long as I could. So now we're going to have a gap with the next permit because the next permit is in the system, but it took 13 months in 2016 to get that permit through. It actually was finished in 2017. So I doubt there will be any new docks this year, but it is scheduled to be the first thing when the permit is put in place, followed by lowering the lights onto the dock, which is going to take a lot of study to figure out where we have room since our main walkway docks are only 6 feet wide. And then the cost, whether we're going to go just for straight lights like we've always had, or whether we're going to try to go to shore power, which will cost at least double or more because of the equipment and the wiring and how we'd have to have them for everybody. And then that would mean a raise in moorage fees. So that's all to come, and it'll be at least 2-3 years before we get there. So be thinking of suggestions. They'll all be welcome. And then once that's done, once the lights are attached to the docks instead of to the pilings the way they want it, they want the lights lower so there's less overwater light at night, then the final step will be lengthening 4 more fingers, which will bring us to a total of 6 new 22-foot slips and 6 new 26-foot slips. With decreasing 18-foot fingers. 2 18-foot fingers will have to be removed to offset the longer fingers. We can't have another foot over water. So by removing those 2 18-foot fingers in the shallowest spot, DNR is happy. That's all they'll request. And so this should take us through, what, another decade? Before they start with more requirements. And I only told them that we would lower the lights, replace the pilings, and lengthen those fingers while we finish the fingers, because they sent a list of template language that could be put in our lease, but they understand we're an HOA and they try to be mindful and kind. So the creosote pilings are one of their big hot spots. The high lights are one of their hot spots. They're actually working with us quite nicely. So the core, well, they're working with us. And
at the core's rate of speed.
So when we get our new marina trustee in place, whoever it ends up being, I will still be willing to volunteer. I've been asked to transfer permitting duties to Steve to help with me, which is how we got the first one through. At that time, it was Bill Kaiser, and he and I worked together to get the permit through. And then, you know, then our marina trustee will carry forward with the plan. So I think it's not perfect. I wish I'd gotten more done, but the marina should be updated in every way required for the short term by the end of this next permit cycle. But the permit needs to be put in place at the end, because we can't even do maintenance without a permit, okay? I hope that explains what's been going on. We are about 3/4 of the way replacing the docks. We have 14 fingers and the accompanying walkway to get replaced. So, and that's why we've been taking $50,000 a year from the capital fund. We haven't used it every year we've asked for it, but that's because it's big ticket items. And this, as you know, every home that's advertised has a picture of our marina front and center, because it's such a selling feature. I mean, that's the whole purpose of the slide lots that people can't build on, is it gets them permission to have a marina slip and use our parks. So it's very valuable to have that marina, and it protects the children working on the building sandcastles, because it improves our breakwater. The logs are not that great, but the docks added to it keeps it safe for the kids. If you have any questions for me, I will be gone at the end of the meeting. I will no longer be the marina trustee, but I can answer your questions. And
Sandy, I'd just like to thank you for all your work you put in. It's been fantastic.
Thank you. You know, it took the whole board. It took the whole board. We had to get this plan down and go
and
forward.
And along your suggestion for suggestions about helping out. Have they thought about using those solar path lights for lowering the lights to save costs?
They're in the catalog, and they would be a big cost savings. Though the ones I was looking at, because of the pillar, the dilemma is our narrow dock. Anything attached to the dock could be hit by boats that are coming in and the current pushes. So there are certain structures that are workable and some that aren't. So all that will be a couple years down the road, depending on when this permit is finally through. I had 3 county people helping me get it through at the end, and it was about this thick a stack of papers, too.
God love
you.
Corey?
Okay, say we don't get the permit renewed in time, then there's a permit that's not covered by a permit. I understand you can't fix the dock during that time, but can we use the dock during that time?
You certainly can use the docks, yes. Everything is still usable and sturdier than it was, except for those 14 fingers. So, any other questions? Okay.
Thank you. Mark, tell us a little bit about the roads.
Okay. Over the years that I've been on the board, I've been lucky enough to take care of the roads. And I've had a lot of cooperation from people. But we still have people that our lots and driveways are small. And a lot of them are, and when they still park in the bioswales And in the winter time is the worst time to ever try to do that because they're so soft and they get people can get stuck in them. And down in the ditches, they tear the ends of some steel culverts that's in up, and that restricts the water from going through. The roads was in pretty bad shape when I was asked to take over that about 7 years ago, and I hope that I've done a good enough job to getting them started to being a lot better. This year I've got quite a bit of footage to be paved, and each year I try and stay within the budget, and sometimes I have to go a little bit over to take care of everything that we need. The fellow that has been doing a lot of our paving is about the only person that I can get to come out to do short strips, maybe 100 feet on one street, 200 feet on another, and he's done a lot of extras for us. Some of the mailboxes and places that is close to the road, you'll see a little swing out of the paving where that he has done that so that the mailman won't drop off the edge and break the edge down. This year I've got probably a full budget. I know I've got a full budget and I could do more, but the thing that's going to cut the length of the footage to do is going to be the cost of the oil, the way the paving and the asphalt is going. Even the cost of rock that he puts down, the base rock that he puts down, has risen. And he's going to come out next week. He's been working out at Alderbrook quite a bit. And we're going to get together and look at the footage, and he's going to have a better idea that what it's going to cost us this year. So if we have $100,000 that we used last year and we have one this year, I'll probably have to cut the footage down considerably to keep it in within the budget as close as I can. And I'll have a better knowledge of it this week, but he does a real good job. And if there's people that wants driveways done and things like that, sidewalks or anything, you can get in touch with him, and he'll do it after he gets done with our jobs. He probably won't get the same discount that we get, but it'll be a fair price, and he does do a good job. Harry won't agree, but that's beside the point. But,
he didn't hear you.
Diane?
So I have a question. I've noticed that some of the lots are putting like their own speed bump at the end of their driveways.
Some of those are to keep the water, the downhill drain, and the way the water is, the crown of the road. He tries to put a minor crown at the road so it will run off to one side. The problem with that is sometimes it's so severe their driveway is that we put a little bump along there to keep the water from running down in their property and in their garage.
Okay, thank you.
Corey?
Do you have to have an architecture committee permit to extend your driveway over the gravel areas next to the road?
No, but that covers the ditch up, and if it don't have a way to get in that part of the culvert, You're going to have the water running right down alongside the pavement, and has a tendency to seep under or go down to your neighbors and go into their place.
Also, if you cover that area, that would be where the water main is. If there was a problem there and it had to be dug up, it would be the homeowner's responsibility to repair that.
Another thing with the bioswales, the ditches and everything, is that that's part of our, that helps, so the county has said, filter out some of the impurities and dispose of the impurities in the wastewater, in the storm waters going down the road, going down to our sewer plant and to our filters that we have at the bottom of the hill by the park. I was surprised to know how much rubber off of our tires gathers in the pavement. I seen a deal on television where that they, some places like in runways and different places, that they have a gas-fired machine that goes along and burns the rubber out of the pavement, out of the blacktop or the concrete. So if we can keep less of those places filled over, we have more filtration and makes our water purities better for us. So it's just, and this won't probably start until in August. We try and do it just before the school buses start running, and we try and inform everybody. And we our biggest enemies in here is delivery trucks, our sewer trucks, our people coming in building with the dump trucks delivering, and garbage trucks, which is a real necessity for us. But they're pretty good about helping take care of the edges of the roads. Yeah, when we run off the edges, that sometimes will break it down. So just a few things to watch, and please try and stay out and park where you... We do the park on the road, but leave a space. If there's several cars coming to your place, spread it out so that any aid vehicle or fire departments could get to down the street. Any questions, Corey?
I just wanted to say I've been coming to homeowners meetings for almost 20 years now, and the previous meetings, you might remember, they were all the complaints were about the roads. Roads are terrible, roads are terrible. So you've done a great job patching up the worst areas.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to do that.
Thank you. Barbara.
Well, let's see. The grass grows, the grass gets cut. The parks is my area. And the biggest thing is the Wanigan, and we are still working. We have a volunteer group that is working to get the Wanigan into a position where it could possibly be used, while we still pursue the county with a permit. So that's the update on the Wanigan. I know several people have thought that, well, nobody's doing anything with the Wanigan all year long. We have been working on it every month. We've been continually visiting the county. We have a group that has been working hard to get solutions for us, and we're hoping that it will be able to be used part of this summer, this once it's shored up a bit. With the parks, 4th of July, we do have a security team coming for our park area, and as usual, we will be closing the back gate because we have to do that once a year to keep our status. We will also have security on Labor Day weekend as well. The auto, the sticker program that was implemented last year has done a lot for cutting down on people who don't live here coming in and using our facilities. So that's been good. I think that it was a good decision to put that in place. Let's see. We have been working, one of my duties as the parks person is I liaison with the garden group as well as the events committee. And so like things that are going to go on in the park throughout the summer, we work together with the events committee to ensure that there's good overlap and we're not stepping on any toes and things are getting done. I work with the garden group to make sure that they're keeping the garden area tidy. And, you know, I have to say, this is their 10th year, and they contribute an awful lot to our community between the information they share about gardening and the produce that they have available for people if people need additional produce. So it's a great group. Same with the events committee. They do an awful lot for our community. We are going to, those of you who have lived here a long time probably remember the salmon barbecues we used to have every year, and that was kind of our celebration of Carline Beach, and was well attended, and we really had a good time, and it stopped for various reasons. I'm working on having a celebration of Carline Beach Memorial or Labor Day weekend on September 3rd, and hopefully it will be the beginning of trying to go back to an annual celebration that we can have in the park. You know, our parks are so valuable and such an asset to our community. I focus mainly when I think about it, I think about the park at the on the water, because that's the one I probably use the most. But we have the park with the play equipment back in the back.
West wind.
Thank you. And
there's,
you know,
always
and then,
kids there.
And too. There are always kids there. That's right. And then we have the dog park as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that those are great assets for our community. And I don't think I have anything else to say. Oh, I guess Diane's going to ask me something.
So I know in the past, the security company we were with for our parks, is this going to be cheaper than what we've had in the past? Are we going to need more neighborhood help?
Thank you. Yes. We are hiring the security company for the 4th of July, and if it happens to be a very nice weekend, that Saturday and Sunday, we're asking volunteers to come down and do some roundabout in the park and just make themselves noticed and check tags, you know, on cars to make sure that we don't have people who shouldn't be in our park there. And anybody who is interested in helping out with that, we'd very much appreciate it. This company that we're hiring for the 4th of July, they will, they're probably at least a third of what we paid last year for the 4th of July. So it's quite a substantial savings.
Still three people.
Yeah, and still from like 11 in the, I think 11 in the morning until 11 at night.
That and that'll be the.
Because in the past they've only been there from 10 in the morning till 5:30 at night.
No, 11. We've had them back at the, because the people come over the fence from the, at the launch. They think it's invisible.
Maybe for the 4th of July.
For the 4th of July, yeah, that's the only day.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know I just got out of the gates.
Peggy?
You mentioned that the stickers were a great idea, bonus. Have we actually had anybody towed ever, or?
Not yet.
Not yet, this year.
Is it being enforced, I guess?
It is something that we are looking at, like Memorial Day weekend, we did not have any security because I looked at the weather report and realized there was not going to be a need because it was raining. But I still came down with the clipboard and checked to see the cars that were sitting in the parking lot, if they were, if they had valid stickers, or if they still had their last year's sticker and just hadn't gone and gotten their new ones yet, or they had a visitor's ticket in the window. So I think we will be enforcing it a little stronger now.
I guess my question is who has the right to call and have a car?
I can answer that.
Yeah.
The tow company requires a pre-authorized list, so all of the board members, myself, are authorized. In the situation where if we were having volunteer security guards, I could call for the day and say we have John and Jim and so-and-so, and they're going to be on the list and they're authorized.
Perfect.
And we take them off the list.
That was always discussed before.
Stan,
yeah.
That's a question.
I think one of the problems is Summit is in Olympia. And while they may have trucks everywhere, an 8 mile jaunt out for one car and then back, I'm just being honest, I think we might be far down on their list of priorities. So I'd like to find maybe a tow company that's closer. So if anybody knows anybody that can help us, because I we've all talked about it, we want to be more active in towing people.
Can I address that before we move on to your question? Let me finish up here if I could. I did most of the walking of the lot last summer as a compliance trustee. I know Sandy, I think, went out a couple times, but our process is to give a warning and put a warning notice on somebody's car the first time we see it. And that resolved about 90% of the issue right there. At least a dozen times I walked got the clipboard, went and walked the lot. I didn't have any repeat customers. So there was no, my goal is not to tow a car.
Right.
So if somebody needed to be towed, if there was a good reason, sure, we'll do it. But the situation never arose. So the issue with the overflowing parking lot was resolved with the parking stickers and issuing, a couple dozen notices, putting them on cars, saying, hey, you need a sticker or you're going to get towed the next time. And then we keep a list.
And just to add to that, when they get the warning, we also list their license plate number so that we will know if they come back again.
That's good to hear that it's actually being followed up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have a clipboard we keep in the office and keep track of it. And it's not been the only issue that I've had with it is not being able to find their sticker on somebody's windshield because it could be anywhere.
And if they've got the really dark windows, it's really hard.
Right.
Yeah. Mindy?
Okay, so when Diane and I were sitting at the gate last year for the board, everybody that didn't have a sticker or didn't know we were a private community was actually really nice and turned around without us having a big issue about it. So it's not really, we need to start towing people if they come in. But it's just they weren't either aware or they're nice and just leave. So
thank you. Thank you for helping out with that, too. Stan, do you want to talk a little bit about compliance and anything else you want to add to Barb's project of
about the Wanigan?
Sure. I've taken the tone with compliance, just as I mentioned with the parking stickers, is that it's an educational effort first and foremost. And I spoke to dozens of people over the past year regarding everything from their lawns too tall to their place is not very neat and tidy to they've got too many cars, what have you, dog complaints, etc. Only had to issue a couple letters which encourage people to take care of an issue, otherwise there might be a fine forthcoming. And for the most part, everything's been resolved. We still have several properties that can be addressed under, should be addressed under, that they're not very neat and tidy. Although unfortunately, that's a very vague statement. And so, you know, I'm working with Steve, and we are going to step up very gently and slowly in getting, you know, some of these properties cleaned up, and working with the homeowners to create a plan to take care of their properties. To this point, we've not stepped out and started finding people. I've had several people give me commitments that have now been broken, that we need to actually step up and start, you know, giving them a deadline.
Yeah. You know, and Stan is going to mention too, we've had a couple situations where a languishing asset has not been able to be dealt with because people died.
Yeah, we have a couple. We're taking the tone and attitude that, you know, we're dealing with people, and we want to be gently, you know, fairly. Although we need to make sure that our community is both neat and tidy and clean, and it keeps up everybody's property value and so forth. So, you know, we sent out a whole slug of letters here about 10 days ago, you know, encouraging people to get their lawns mowed. Because this spring, but on the same token, we recognize that it's been wet, which makes things grow, but it's also been wet, so people aren't out taking care of their lawns. So, but it still needs to be done. So along that lines, that's where we're at with compliance, and I anticipate that I'm sure everybody's aware of the properties that might be kept up a little better. And I'm sure that you'll see some movement on those over the next several months. We're not gonna do anything rash, but it's just kind of a slow, steady progress. And unfortunately, we're not going to share who we sent out, you know, assessment letters to. I don't think that would be
Stan?
Yes.
Didn't you also have to deal with noxious weeds last summer?
I did not. That was
somebody.
Chris, I think, went around 2 years ago and addressed the noxious weeds.
Okay. Volunteers helped with that, didn't they?
Yeah. Yes. The other projects that I've had some touches with are the Wanigan. We actually have materials on site to stabilize the Wanigan. We've not been able to get an engineer engaged the county. I went to the county. We've gone down to the county twice, and with non-stamped engineered plans, and the county wouldn't accept them. We thought we had it bought off, but there, at the last minute, they denied us. They wanted a stamped engineered plan, and so we're trying to get an engineer engaged, but due to the age of the Wanigan, I can't get anybody to accept the project. Yes?
Sorry if I'm ignorant on it. What is the Wanigan? I figured I'd figure out the process.
The Wanigan is the big cabana that's down in the park, down in the
okay.
main park.
Okay,
yeah.
That's what I suspected.
That's what they call it.
Yep.
I wanted to say something else.
Yes.
Why do we have to go to the county to get things dialed in to get it prepared?
It is a large structure in a public space that it would require a building permit to repair it.
It's a great facility.
What's that?
Who thought that it needed to be required?
That's what the statute is. That's what the law is.
County required. What was the law when he built it?
I don't know. I was 4 years old.
Well, it didn't apply, did it?
No.
So we'll have to basically redo all the electrical and plumbing and everything.
That is correct. Whenever you make improvements, it's the new codified improved laws, codes, regulations.
Are repairs considered improvements?
They are, unless they are cosmetic.
Aren't they cosmetic?
No.
No.
They're structural.
Yeah.
Well, you can argue that to the county permit guy that comes out that finds you.
Well, that's not really what he knows about.
That's true.
They don't come out to Carlisle.
What he doesn't know won't hurt him.
You're out here a lot.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, there are counties right now. First off, we need to abide by all the rules and regulations. That's just what we need to do. It's the right thing to do. And second, if we don't, there are county officials in our development daily. And when I was down at the county talking to them, they knew the structure. They've had barbecues in the structure. It's not that they're people too, and they're out in our community.
So do they know it's their benefit to get the thing going in?
Well, they have their regulations too. So we're working through it.
And we are going to, yeah. So it's like Stan said, we have some materials on hand to stabilize it, make it functional through the summer, and pursue more major project on it at some point.
Yeah.
Barb?
And I had two things I wanted to add. The events committee donated funds to purchase recreational, like a tetherball, a volleyball. I'm forgetting some of the things. Basketball and nets for the use in our park and for the children of our community to use. They are at this time at the clubhouse. There's no real way to track and keep track of these, secure these items. We're going on the honor system, and if people's children decide to take them home, that's the end of it. They're not available anymore because we won't replace them again. The other thing is that the events committee is working to help, again, with our Wanigan. One of the reasons that the salmon barbecue was ended was that we didn't have sufficient water tables in the Wanigan to have an event there. And so we're working on some ways to correct that.
I thought it was because somebody went to the health department.
Yes.
Tattletale.
Yes, and I have someone who is also on the events committee, but she's also she works with the county health department quite a bit because she's a coordinator for the wooden boat fair that we have in Olympia here every year. So she's gone and talked to them, and we figured a solution of how we can correct this over the next little while so that we can have more community events in our park. I loved having the salmon barbecue. I loved having all the potlucks we would have down there, and we haven't been able to do. So those were a couple things I wanted to acknowledge, that our event, working with the parks committee, the events committee is helping with a lot of things, and they need to have that recognition.
Thank you.
So one other project that is a big project that is out there that is going to be a substantial impact on our budget is the repair of the clubhouse. The clubhouse is supported on the water side by 5 16 by 16 posts. The two of the posts on the corners, the two corner posts, are significantly deteriorated. If you've been down there, last fall we pulled the siding off several feet up and exposed the area. We anticipated being able to do some minor repair and re-site it. When we got into it, we found that the repair was beyond scope. We had an engineer look at it. He called out going ahead and replacing those the two of those 16 by 16 posts. Obviously those are very large posts. At some point many years ago, somebody has sistered up two other posts on the inside of those two corner posts that are taking the significant amount of the load. The engineer is certain that we're not in the building is not in danger at any point, in his opinion at this point, but it does need to be repaired appropriately. And at this point, at this juncture, one of the major sticking points as to why we've not moved forward is coming to a decision on what to do with the stairwell that comes out of the west side of the building, because it is secured by one of those posts, as well as whoever, when it was put in X years ago, it was not flashed properly and there was water infiltration that rotted out the post. So the question is now, what do we do with that stairwell? That's if we, whether we, you know, that stairwell could be a $5,000 fix or a $50,000 fix, depending on which direction we go. So it's not that, you know, we recognize that the building, it's got basically tar paper covering up, you know, a high-end tar paper, so it's watertight covering it up down there. But it could look better. But we are trying to move forward, and once we have a decision there, we have engineering lined up to go ahead and get that, and we have to pay for design and engineering and permits, and there's question because it's so close to the water, we get into all sorts of issues to get that repaired. And I know, once again, folks, when I said, can we just go ahead and repair it without permits? Well, we could, but it's not the right thing to do. And if we get caught, we would likely get called out on it and get red tagged and then have to go back in again. So
that's at the monthly board meeting, you hear updates, you know, all the time on where we're at with this process. And I know with Steve on board now, that Stan and Steve will be working on this, so I'm sure we'll start getting a plan in place, hopefully with some dates on it and a timeline for getting that all done.
And costs.
I just wondered, when the engineer's stamping the plans for the clubhouse, if he could just slip in the water.
Yeah. Good idea.
Well, actually, you're not too far off base. The biggest problem with the water main is getting an engineer to accept the project. I can't get anybody to actually engage. So, because it's so old, and we might not, because the one engineer that we had look at it said, I'm not going to take it because it's too much liability. I'm not going to try and re-engineer this thing.
Not calling it a Wannigan. Nobody knows what it is.
Yeah. Okay.
So shelter.
That's our kind of our primary problem is they don't want to accept the liability of trying to re-engineer.
Yeah, it's like a Native American.
Okay, so
I don't want to continue this conversation right now on the Wannigan, because we've been talking about it for 8 months. And I think we did have, actually somebody did look into getting a steel shelter, a steel cover for that thing. So anything else that you want the board to address maybe in the at future board meetings? Since we've been here for 2 hours, it's about time to wrap this part of the meeting up.
Because everyone wants the results.
Yes.
No, it was more of a motion.
Oh, okay, let's hear the, thanks. Marcia, you ready for the results of the election?
Yes, I am.
This isn't going to be enough space, hopefully.
You can go ahead.
Yes.
Okay, these are the June 11th, 2022 annual meeting final results. These are the bylaw proposals. Bylaw proposal number one, for 133, against 10. Bylaw proposal number two, the total four is 108, against 36. Bylaw proposal number three, 103, against 6. Bylaw proposal number four, 23-4, against 113. Budgets for the 2022-2023 general fund, 104, against 41. And the capital reserve budget for 100 against 39.
The only one I didn't get is how many were for number one?
133.
I can just give you this.
Okay, good.
And we'll write down the numbers for two.
Good.
You keep writing, and then you know we get it between the two.
The candidates that ran for the board, I will give you the totals, and we're voting on four. Diane Bradford, 99. Marv Harris, 124. Virginia Stafford, 85. Christina Ramsey, 74. Stan Harris, 115. Vern Jensen, 2. Seth Shea, 1. Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Robin?
I just wanted to say that the word Wanigan is a Native American term for a lodge that people gather at. And so it's kind of appropriate that we have Wachman.
Right. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I looked that up, and it says a shelter as for sleeping, eating, or storage, often mounted on wheels or tracks, and towed by a tractor, or mounted on a raft or a boat.
Boat something.
Yeah.
They couldn't get it perfect.
That's what Jerry wants.
Yes.
Do we need to ratify the count of the vote?
No.
You do not.
Oh, we don't?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Thank you. We can have a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
What's your name?
Genevieve Paul.
Genevieve Paul moved to adjourn.
Thank you,
Jeremy. Harry seconded at 12:10 or so. And, thank you. Then, as I mentioned, we will have a special board meeting. We'll take a break for a few minutes.
Who's in favor of
all in favor of leaving.
Yeah.